I don't know what note that was in. It don't matter. It don't matter. All right. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another show with Amongst Friends, where we talk about love, life, and relationships, and everything under the sun. As always, we have Breezy.
Hello, people. How y'all doing?
Tom Lee Cooney.
I don't know which one of these is on. Is it this one?
Yep.
Yeah. Not this one?
Not that one. Yeah. And of course, your lovely host tonight is D-Rob's in the building.
D-Rob, what is this? What are you doing?
You hear all the fanfare? Okay, anyway. Now, we love that you are a part of the conversation in the family and all those things, but how you newbies can be a part of the conversation is by dialing 760-683-2662. You can hit us up on our Facebook page, Amongst Friends, or on our Facebook group, which is Amongst Friends Radio Talk Show. Put it in your search engine. Ask to be a part of the group. And there you go. Accept you live on the air. We want to hear you. What'd you say, Brett? You was about to say something.
I don't remember.
Okay. And on top of that, you can hit us up on Twitter.
The Twitter.
At amongst_friends. Now, we've also been talking about being live and direct. And tonight, you will get your wish. Because we're on Periscope, baby. What?
Are we?
What?
Yours.
Not right now.
Oh, I was about to say, because I'm not dressed for Periscope.
But you are, because
no.
We will.
No.
Gonna get up.
I was sitting under the table.
Damn!
Nobody told me we were going to be on Periscope.
We said we were going to be live next week. It's next week, today.
Nobody told me we were going to be on Periscope. Yeah. That must have been a discussion you had before I got here.
No, I just said we were going to be live.
Yeah, I would prefer not to be live today.
See how people don't, they just don't want to cooperate.
It's not that I don't want to cooperate. I just don't want to be broadcast looking like this. I got mustard on my shirt, for goodness sake.
We're amongst friends.
Yeah, no.
And mustard.
That's what we do.
It's okay.
No.
We're friends.
Nope.
So next week, you're going to come on dolled up.
Y'all can be on Periscope all day.
Ma'am. It's going to pan. Gonna be like,
nope.
Yeah. Anywho, today it is a roundtable discussion because we've been talking about sex a lot, so we're just gonna move on. So, there's a couple of topics that I'd like to talk about, and then y'all can get in where you fit in. All right. First topic of discussion. Everyone knows that D-Rob is, what is it called? What season is up? Cuffing season is upon us. Huh? Well, being that I'm...
What you writing a post about cuffing season for?
I'll go ahead and put it in the group.
Put it in the group, sir. Mm-hmm. Talk about cuffing season. Not that I'm looking for a cuffing buddy, but D-Rob is a single female who is...
Why is D-Rob speaking
in
a third person?
Because I can.
Okay.
But anyway, D-Rob is single, and she likes to mingle. But anyway, so I had got off of POF. for those of you who don't know what TOF stands for, that's plenty of fish. And I decided I was bored one night that I'd get back on. Now, mind you, there's tons of foolishness on TOF.
Don't I know it?
So, I was able to make the acquaintance of a young man who served 10 years in the federal penitentiary.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
Gainfully employed within the last 3 years, taking care of his responsibilities.
Taking care of me and mine, you know what I'm saying?
However, this is where we had a conflict.
So it wasn't the 10 years in jail. Okay, cool. Got it.
See, this is why I'm never able to finish my story. But anyway, so we're talking, and my first cursory questions are, any felonies, misdemeanors,
right,
domestic violence in your past or present? Present, period. And he says, yes, 10 years in the pen, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. You know, hey, I don't know how long ago it was. So I'm asking questions. He gets defensive and is like, I don't feel like I need to be answering all these questions. I'm sorry. Good luck in your search and goodbye. My question to you guys, I'm pretty sure that Bree's not going to even go down the path. First thing she hears is prison and she's out. Got it? My question to not only to the host here tonight is, what are your thoughts on that? You know, like, should people be considerate of folks who are coming out? You know, they've served their time, they did their bid. And I'm not talking about those who just came out, they're looking for a job, all this kind of stuff. I'm talking about those who are gainfully employed, they're moving on with their lives.
I think that it's dumb for him to say, don't ask me about the last 10 years of my life or whatever. Like, I understand the past is the past. Like, there's some things that we can move on from. Like, oh, I was married for 10 years. Oh, okay. It didn't work out? No, it didn't work out. That's fine. But I was in prison for 10 years? Being married, some people may say being married and being in prison are the same thing, but that's your problem, not mine. But being married for 10 years is a totally different ball of wax than being in prison for 10 years. And you have to expect that some woman that just met you online is going to ask you questions about that before you exchange numbers or go out or anything. Because
she wants to know what you did, why you did. Is there any possibility that you're still feeling that lifestyle?
I'm not saying that it's excusable, it was right, but just like how women not like to be told to smile,
mm-hmm,
in the morning or on the street.
Okay. Go ahead.
I'm not, and the reason why I'm going to equate is because I could have been the 10th person that says that. He wasn't getting mad at you. It just, he's tired of answering, you know, that question.
And I get that.
Again, before Bridget to my throat, I'm not what? Excusing it.
Obviously, I'm not
wanting
here, so I'm just not going to talk no more
than I. Okay, that's not what we're going to do. We're going to put our headphones back on.
Nope.
And we're going to talk. I get what he's saying.
So,
totally get it.
Yeah.
However, someone who has for me, I'm someone who likes to travel a lot,
mm-hmm,
out of the country. Certain felonies, you can't get a passport.
Right.
So that means that we're not going to be able to travel together. As a federal employee, if I'm looking for a top secret or a top secret SCI, poly, or whatever, they look at your friends and your family and your acquaintances.
So, we, like I said, no, I don't think he should just cut it off. I don't think he should react that way. But, you know, after
But you
being,
do feel like women should give guys a chance.
I'm not even saying that. You know, going back to the original question, you said should people. I mean, for me, that's a little, you know, kind of a touchy subject. From having, you know, I have bad family members incarcerated, and for me being county jail myself. You know, luckily I didn't go to prison. So, you know, I may feel differently than somebody else about it. But you asking one to know is valid. That is very valid. And just like him reacting that way, it wasn't you personally. I'm not excusing it. You know, he wasn't wrong. But that's why I reacted. But you were definitely, you know, in the right and wanting to know, you know, especially if this possibly could have led to something. So I don't think that you were in the wrong, you know, by asking. Because like you said, some crimes you can't, you know, you can't get housing, you can't do a lot of things. And of course, like you said, with you being a federal employee. So.
Absolutely. We have a caller. Dr. T has something to say. Your mic is live.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that the false equivalency of women not wanting to be told to file and a man not wanting to talk about his decade in prison is absolutely ridiculous, firstly. Secondly, that man can feel free to not want to answer any questions, and he is not entitled to anybody's attention as a result. 10 years in prison is a long time. You miss a lot of life in 10 years, and I would like to know what for. So I think if you're a person with a felony, if you're a person with 10 years in penitentiary and you want to date civilians, then you're going to need to man up and say, look, these are questions I'm going to have to answer, and not catch an attitude with people who are basically looking out for their own safety. That's my take on it.
And I agree. The only reason why I equated it to someone being told to smile on the streets because I'm pretty sure on a regular basis you or D may have been told 5 times a day, if that, and you're tired of hearing that. That might not have been the first time that day that he was asked that question. That definitely wasn't the first time that he was asked that, you know, since he's been out. So I'm not saying his reaction was right, something he's going to have to, you know, have to get used to. But after being so, you know, asked a lot of times, which if he brings it up, he's going to have to get used to that. And that's what, and that's probably why he reacted that way.
I think that he gave all the information
that Mr. Schraub needs to know because he obviously does not know how to manage his emotional state.
I think that the difference between being told to smile and being asked questions about 10 years in prison is you get told to smile when you're walking down the street minding your own business. If he was walking down the street minding his own business, no one would be like, oh, did you spend 10 years in prison? Tell me about it. No. You're putting yourself in a platform, in a place, and, you know, putting things out there, not saying that he should lie, but he needs to be prepared for those questions. You can't get mad at those questions if that's something that you're exposing yourself to by being on that sort of platform.
And I agree, but he does. You know, we can't tell him, oh, don't feel some way about it. He does. And he should manage, you know, his expectations. He should manage his feelings. But the fact that he reacted the way, that's how he chooses to react to being asked that question. Even if he did tell you, that's on him. He's going to have to know that that's going to come up. He's going to have to, you know, face that. But even if he tells you, it does not mean that he's not allowed to react a certain way. And apparently that's how he reacts.
Right. So maybe I'll come back to that. I don't feel like it. I'm going to keep the conversation going in another direction. So when I said, good luck in your search, no thank you, he came back and said, I don't have a problem sharing what I've gone through, but I've been asked this question over and over again, and it becomes irritating. And so I have did my time. I've served it, you know, whatever, whatever. I'm out now. I'm a different person, blah, blah, blah. It is not a reflection of my character. I still got questions, though. Questions that I want answered. Now, I already know I'm not going to be, I'm not interested. What did you do? Because I'm nosy. Was it violent?
That's different. I think that's also part of his issue is that people ask him all these questions and then get ghosts on him.
Well, see,
at the same time, that's like if a woman was like, yeah, I was a prostitute for 10 years, but I don't want to talk about it. That's no reflection on my character. Ma'am, actually, yeah, we need to talk about that. Because there are a lot of things that come with that lifestyle that are normalized within the institution of prison that, or within the institution of prostitution that are not normal for, as Dr. T called them, civilians. So, I mean, he can get mad all he wants, but it has to be expected. It has to be.
And like I said, I can understand his frustration or him getting irritated or being tired, someone coming at him and saying, you know, tell me more. And then them saying, yeah, this is not going to be a good fit for me. But it's still my right to ask questions. It's still my right to feel comfortable moving forward, entertaining someone. If I say, hey, you, because my first questions are misdemeanors, felonies, domestic violence, in your past or your present. I want to know these things. And then when you come back and you say, yes, I have a felony, but you don't say, so then my next question is, what type of felony? Was it drug related? And you say, no, it was violent. Red flag, red flag, red right. flag, red flag, red flag, do not pass, go.
And which you have right to know.
And so then I want to know more.
It's giving you the choice to make your own.
But then don't shame me and say, you know, that's my past. I'm moving forward. You know, I have a job. I'm not asking for anything from anybody. All I want you to do is allow me to show me you. Allow me to show you me. Okay, but I got questions about your me.
And again, that's what
you're saying. You don't handle domestic violence, but you have a violent felony.
This question is going to fall.
So then I said, what did you do? And because he's like, you're right. You don't know me like that. I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to lie to anybody. I killed somebody.
It was myself if you backed out of chat. So.
I got more questions.
How you only do 10 years and you kill someone? I got a question.
And then this is when he says, it's now becoming ridiculous. I'm getting frustrated. Sir, you didn't use violent in a message. And now I'm asking you questions.
And then you tell me
you have second degree, you know, you took a law trial. So now I'm wanting to know, okay, was it self-defense and they couldn't prove that it was self-defense, so they had to give you a law charge? Like, I got so many freaking questions. Did somebody come in your house and they shoot you? I mean, you know, why should I be okay with you didn't kill somebody?
Let me ask you a question. Huh? I'm pretty sure let me ask you.
Uh-huh.
When he said about this, were you through at that time?
Well, see, I was through when I initially.
He was over it at non-drug related felonies.
All right, so that's the question, right? So knowing the reasons why, is that going to change your opinion of him if you're already through, if you're already backed out?
Well, see, now you done now you done made a choice for me. And so now I'm going to keep asking and keep asking and keep asking. And maybe it'll help you for the next female.
But what's it going to do for you? What is your income?
I ended long time ago, but you kept back. You came back. Now, mind you, throughout our going back and forth, that first time when I said, best wishes in your search. After I said that, I was done.
Okay.
Then he came back and was like, you're right. I jumped the gun. You don't know me. You're asking questions. Then he started sharing. Should I have said, best wishes.
You could have.
Good luck in your search. But I wanted to know what he did. I'm sorry.
Once you tried to leave the conversation and he wanted to keep it going, that was on him. You should have asked him everything. You should have just a whole list.
I was going down the line.
Or you could have just ended it and blocked him.
I could have.
Just blocked him, and that would have been that. I mean, I'm not sure how POF works, but is it like a block?
You can block people on POF.
Like the dude that told me that I was displaying attributes of a woman who grew up without a father. I was like,
well,
really? Okay. All because I asked him why he didn't call me back when he said he was going to call me back.
What? Let's talk about that.
Now, that's way jumping the gun. That's about the switch. Damn,
a
gun.
No, I have a problem. Okay. Now, typically when I say I'm going to call someone back, minus my family, because somebody might come up here and say, you said you were going to call me back 2 days ago. Typically, when I say I'm going to call you back, I'm going to call you back. So it really irritates me, like really irritates me when I'm dealing with someone that I'm dating or whatever, and they say, well, let me call you back in 20 minutes, or let me call you back in an hour, or let me call you back about somewhere we're supposed to go.
Whatever the time
this dude
is.
Said, let me send you a picture of my artwork, and what do you say? You send me a picture of you so I can put you on my phone, and let me send you a picture of my artwork. So I sent him the picture. He didn't respond. And so I called back. I was like, I said, was I supposed to call you back or were you supposed to call me back? He was like, oh, let me run to the car to get my charger. What time do you have to get up? I said, like 4:30, 5 o'clock. He's like, oh, yeah, you probably got early morning crew. He was like, yeah, so let me go get this the charger for this marathon conversation we're about to have. And then he didn't call me back. So then the next day he sent me a text message, and I responded like an hour later or whatever because I was busy. So I called him the day after that. He was drunk. And I was like, have you been drinking? And he was talking all in circles. I was like, what? What's going on? What are you saying? And he was like, no, listen. He had just invited me to something that he was going to in D.C. on Saturday. He was like, oh, you got to come through, blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, you never called me back the other night. What was up with that? He's like, I got responsibilities. Da, 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 da. He's like, my grandmother's going to. I was like, it was like 11 o'clock. I was just curious, like, your grandmother stays up till 11 o'clock? You know, he never mentioned anything about his grandmother living in his house with him or anything. He was like, let me ask you a question. Did you grow up with a dad? I was like, what? He's like, did you have a dad? I said, I had several dads. And he was like, no, but like the man that birthed you and bought you your first car, blah, blah, blah. I was like, no. He's like, oh, okay. I said, and he was like, well, you have a good night. I said, excuse me. He said, you're displaying attributes of a woman that grew up without a dad. And he was still talking. I was like, all right, you have a good night. Click. I didn't even wait to find out what he was going to say because at that point it was not worth wasting my breath. But I was just like, because I asked you why you didn't do something you were supposed to do, you said you were going to do, you explained what you were doing, like, and then you just pop up like nothing happened. I'm trying to set the precedent that that's not okay with me, and you're trying to set the precedent, don't question me, just trust me, and I don't know you. That's crazy. And hurt my feelings a little bit, because I'm like, what's this play attributes of a woman that grew up without a father? Because I'm holding a man accountable for what he said he was going to do? Because my daddy didn't do what he said he was going to do? Is that what this is about? But, sir, you didn't do what you said you were going to do, though. Either way.
That was a Jedi mind trick that he was trying to play. Well, as a Jedi. He was trying to get you.
What was he trying to get me to do, though?
To get you to do what he say.
Which would get off the phone? Because that's what I did. I wasn't about to play that game with him.
Well, you didn't fall for the Jedi mind trick, ma'am.
Because I am a Jedi.
Well, there you go. Ha
ha! I don't know why. I be striking out for real. These dudes are crazy as I don't know what.
I don't get it. I don't understand why you can't do what you say you're going to do.
I'll tell you what gets me.
I mean, you can call back and be like, yo, I'm not going to be able to
or
call
text
you back.
Back and be like, hey, I know I said I was going to call you back. But and it wasn't like I was waiting up because I went to bed. I
well,
absolutely
sometimes I might be excited about doing whatever you said, or I wanted to talk to you.
How about it?
I'll tell you what gets me. This is something I want to do. Mm-hmm. I'll ask you if you want to do. I'm not going to say, oh, this is what we're doing. I'll ask you, this is what I want to do. Do you want to do it with me? You know, if not, then I'll do it myself. And if you say, yeah, then, okay, well, this is the time I like to be there or leave. Is that fine with you? You know, if not, let me know what time is good for you. So if you say, oh, so to me, all right, then leave by a certain time. If by 20 minutes you're supposed to be there, I got to call you to see, or like an hour I got to call you to see, are you ready? Oh, yeah, no. You had all day. Yeah, you could have gave me notice. Now, if it happens once or twice, I get that. But when it comes, you know, a recurring thing, now my mom's thinking, like, you just don't want me to do that thing. Once or twice, it happens. But when it happens, like, on the regular, now I'm thinking, like, that's disrespectful. You have more than ample time to give me notice. That way I can make plans, whatever. I can leave earlier, whatever. Like I said, I'm going to ask if you want to do it. And then we can try to figure out, you know, what's best for us. But like I said, when kids trade time to leave, you're like, yeah, I'm not going. You could have had the courtesy to say something.
You're right.
First few times it happens, cool, no problem.
Ain't no first few times.
No.
I mean, I give you twice. But now it gets like, first of all, once
you
pass that.
Time, and then an explanation. You do
it. Like, I mean, if you're at work. Mm-hmm. You know, and I understand you get where work get busy sometimes. You make a swamp, last minute project, you know, but when it gets to the past two times, I'm definitely going to say something. If it continues after that,
you're
then like, no.
You're saying you're going to say something. It's a wrap.
W-R-A.
That's what would give me. Like, you had the courtesy to text, email, something to say, look, I'm not going to.
So.
I think I may have stood to do that. But I don't think he remembers that it was me.
Was it supposed to be somebody else or something?
It's another dude. And he was like, oh, yeah, we exchanged Google Voice numbers because I don't play that, except for this one dude. But anyway, we exchanged Google Voice numbers. And he was like, I don't know if you remember, I said something about it. The dude that kept trying to meet me off in the cut. He kept trying to change where we were supposed to meet. He asked where I wanted to meet him. I told him, and he kept trying to change it.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, he told.
And I didn't feel comfortable. And people were like, why can't you just meet the man? Because I don't want to end up bones in the damn garbage can, dumbass. Ugh.
Take bones in the garbage can.
So I ended up having to cancel because I had to run out and do something. And he was like, okay, cool, I'm flexible. I was like, okay, all right, he's understanding. Cool. So then he hit me up the next day and I was like, I have some schoolwork to do. Tomorrow will actually be better. He's like, oh, cool. We could meet up around 6 at such and such. I was like, oh, okay. All right. Didn't hear from him. So at 6, I was someplace else. He didn't text. He didn't call. Because I wasn't going to run out and, like, there was nothing really. He said, we can, but then.
Nothing definite.
No, but then after that, he said that earlier in the day. Then later on in the day, he was like, hey, what's up? I was like, hey. And he was like, are you trying to meet up tonight? And I was like, what is up with this dude? Are you not remembering that we already said? That's why I didn't go, because I just felt uncomfortable. Like, I don't know what his deal is. Mm-hmm. He's obviously not keeping track of who he's talking to or something, because how do you just asked me the same question. I was like, you just okay, maybe we did make a date. And then I started thinking, oh, he's going to be here anyway, and he just wants me to show up while him and his people are there, and I'm not doing that. So I was like, I'll see if he says, you know, are we still on for 6? Like, if you have plans, you make plans a couple days in advance, and the person doesn't confirm, do you still have plans? Do you still show up?
Uh-huh. Mm. If we've confirmed.
If you're friends with them, though,
yeah,
right?
Well,
if you, I'm saying, if this is a complete stranger,
well,
I'm going to confirm either way.
What I'm going to do is maybe about 2 hours before it's time, I'm going to send you a courtesy email and say, hey, are we still good? Or where are you? You know, like, are you en route? That kind of thing.
And normally that's what I would do, but I really felt like he really didn't give a shit if I showed up or not, which was obvious because he didn't say anything. 6 o'clock, he didn't say, where are you? Anything like that. And then went back on the site and he was gone.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is, I trusted my instincts because normally I'd be like, oh, are we still on for tonight or blah, blah, blah. I just trusted my instincts. Something told me go ahead and leave that alone. Especially when you asking me about meeting up on the date. That's the second time he asked me the day of, hey, you want to blah, blah, blah. And I wasn't available that day, and I told you that the day before that. But for you to come back and say it again, I was just like,
he's like,
something's up with him, and I'm not down with that at all.
I give up.
My spidey senses were tingling, and I didn't like it.
Okay. Next topic. So, there was a video posted by Angela Green from WNCT, and she was giving some professional advice.
I saw it.
She was giving some professional advice to one of her interns. She was getting ready to do a project on camera, and basically the gist of the video was, my hair is straight. I work for the network. I'm on air. My hair is straight. I'm mixed with Asian, whatever, so my hair could be curly, but because my bosses want it to be straight, I'm rocking the straight right now. My hair is natural, but it's straight right now. The intern, her hair was
big. Her hair was pretty big.
Long, curly, all that kind of stuff. And so the intern's supervisor said, straighten your hair. Her advice was, go ahead and do it.
For the project.
And depending on where you go later on in life, you'll have to deal with whether or not you want to do it or whatever, however, blah, blah, blah. Well, I followed the natural hair blog. They were furious.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. Actually, when I first saw the video, I didn't take offense to it. But then again, I'd have my own professional struggles with wearing my hair straight, wearing my hair in a fro, all this kind of stuff. I have a lot of people who even say, when my hair is straighter, I'm more approachable, you know? So I have my own thing. But I didn't take offense to it. And it wasn't until listening to some of the responses and some of the videos that came from it, I was like, okay, I can get where they're coming from. I understand the passion. Like, I'll never go back to a perm or anything like that. And I, you know, for y'all that don't know me, I rock a fro in some type of waveform. Pray for it. So it'd be doing its own thing.
Well, it's nice.
But I wanted to hear what your thoughts were. How do you feel? I mean, it's interesting to me that
universities,
they have, it seems like they're holding on to hairstyles and professional trends more so than the corporate world is. Now, TV all day long, it's going to be rare that I feel that I'm going to see a big afro on someone that's in front of the TV. But you have students who have to cut their locks or tone down their hairstyles and stuff like that. How do y'all feel about it?
Sure.
How are they at your job?
Nobody gives a crap at my job. Here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain places where how you look matters, and TV is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain markets where how you wear your hair matters, and that sucks. However, when a lot of times, in order to change the game, you got to play the game.
Change the game, sorry.
And TV is unfortunately one of those places where you have to do some things to get your foot in, and then once your foot is in, you can do what you want once they like you as a person. And I know, you know, natural hair people are like, oh my God, I can't believe they would tell her that and blah, blah, blah. It's a project. If her headshot is her with her hair straight and her with her hair curly, you know what I'm saying?
But don't you feel like she could have toned it down a bit? You know, like,
her
I think
hair
her
was,
hair
her
was...
Hair was, her hair was big and untamed. It was. It was really big.
I think, like, she could have wet her hair or put conditioner in her hair, and it would have been
when she
a
put
little,
it back in a ponytail, it actually looked better. She could have even done
a bun
with her natural hair, and it would have been fine. But even if her there are white people with curly hair that have to straighten their hair to go on the air. So it's not just a black people thing. It's there's not really a uniform for television. But there is a just a look until you can establish yourself and do whatever you want. And
so why say straighten? Why not give her other tips?
To go along with what Angela actually said was straighten it for the project because the teacher wanted it straightened for the project. She said, but she did say, you know, what that was just her opinion though.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, she could have just tamed it, pulled it back, put it in a, because I remember people getting fired for wearing like cornrows and braids and stuff like that. I understand where the natural hair community is coming from, but at the same time, you're in front of a camera. It's not like at my job, if they tried to tell me that something was wrong with my hair, I would look at them like they were crazy because I'm not in front of a camera. The people that I'm working with are government employees just like me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not out here, you know, doing press conferences with a head wrap on or whatever.
But and what's wrong with that?
But I'm just saying, people have the right to have their image and their brand represented the way they want to. And if you work in a market that does not want your natural hair, then that's something that you need to consider. But
why?
Because they don't like you. They don't like you for you. Are you playing devil's advocate right now?
Of course.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But, yeah. Okay.
I didn't see, you know, the clip, but having, you know, a niece and a sister that they have natural hair, that's something that they face. I look at her, you know, telling her, you know, giving her the advice that she thinks she needs to hear,
mm-hmm.
and particularly on that particular project. It's like if you got somebody, a male working at your job that, you know, has tattoos on, you know, someone may come to the side and say, hey, man, you know, if you want to, you know, get further in your career, you might want to, you know, cover those tattoos. The reason why she may say straighten her hair is because even what would be tame for her may still be unruly to other people. So,
no, I'm pretty sure if she straightened her hair, it would be very
but I'm just saying, like, you know, it had to be done a little differently. Who knows? So, you know, the best thing she could say to cover all bases would be straighten your hair. Now, it's not right. It's not wrong. Going back to what Bree said, if you're in the works field, you know, and you are, you know, of Team Natural, you know, that may affect, you know, the kind of jobs and careers that you want to go into. Not saying that's right, but if you know that there is some place...
I'm sorry, that's not exactly what I said, but...
Okay.
No, I'm just saying that's I was saying specifically for TV.
Okay, well, I was going to say on a larger scale. Then, you know, you may want to, you know, think about, well, you know, should I apply here or try work here and then buck the system and try to change it, or should I, you know, get along to go along? I mean, so that's always going to be, you know, an issue.
And I think that's where the natural hair community is coming from. It's not always going to be an issue if we stand up and be outraged about it and say, I'm not my hair. My hair doesn't diminish my ability to report the news or edit a story or do XYZ.
You're right. It's unfortunately takes a longer time to
but if we keep doing this whole, you know, we'll just do it right now, and then when you're looking to be in your career or whatever, or decide that you're not going to make the change, then you need to accept the fact that you may not get hired. No, let's have the conversation right now that that's wrong. I'm not my hair. I'm still talented. I'm still capable of doing the job.
You're right, but some people are unfortunate.
Ain't no unfortunate.
No, listen,
let's talk right now. I'm tired of y'all telling me I can't wear my hair like this.
I'm not saying that, but some people don't want to see past.
I don't care what you don't want to see.
I'm not your boy. That's just how it is. You know, you can try to, you know, fit change. Well, some people, no matter what, just some people do not want to see change. Some are more, accepting of it. They always can get some that want things to stay the way they are.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. That moves. Now, there's a whole lot more that we could say about the whole natural hair community and all that. However, we're moving right along because I got a whole bunch of topics that's going. But I'm not my hair. I am not me. We just got over the anniversary of September 11th, and each year.
No, I never understood why tragedies are a year from the date or years from the date. Why they're called anniversary? That doesn't seem something like I would want to. I think an anniversary would like celebratory. More of a celebration type thing. I don't understand why something like that would be considered an anniversary.
Well,
I think of celebrating, I think of a joyous occasion.
Well, but so then what? An anniversary is just the date on which an event took place in a previous year.
I know, but most of the time, we think of anniversary. When I think of anniversaries,
mm-hmm.
Say, you know, someone starts a business, and each year, you know, from that day, that's the anniversary of the business or a wedding anniversary. I don't. That's what I think from the thing of anniversaries. Something that those two things I think should be celebrated. I just don't, despite what you know the dictionary says. I don't attach. Anniversary to tragedy, 9/11, or Columbine High School, or anything like that.
Got it. However, we just got over it. It just happened. And what was interesting this year for me was, I believe it was, the post that said something to the effect of after 9/11 or hold on.
The one that was talking about how everybody was unified after 9/11 and then a couple years later black people were the enemy again or something like that.
No.
Oh. Okay.
It was one typically came from kids. Where they were saying 9/11 Hold on, give me a second. I'm gonna pull it up, pull it up, pull it up, pull it up. It was on Twitter, and the comments were, you know, it initiated, well, I'm not going to say it was initiated, but, you know, every year on 9/11, you know, people say, where were you on 9/11? And then people talk about where they were and what they remember and all this kind of stuff. But this year, this was a different hashtag. I'm trying to find it. It was after September 11th. And some of them went like this. After September 11th, I grew up without mom because someone with a gun decided that she needed to answer for it with her life. After September 11th, on September 13th, my dad stopped wearing a turban, cut his hair, and shaved his beard because he was assaulted at work by a white man. After September 11th, imagine being 9 and wondering why your teacher decided to call on you and ask you why your faith advocates for bombing. After September 11th, my parents genuinely asked my brother if he wanted to change his name because it's Osama. He was 9. I hadn't seen those before. And I think about where I was at 9/11, but then you don't think about how it affected others. And here, you know, we talk about how during 9/11 we came together as a nation to stand together, but then we don't talk about how that same nation is very racial. And why they, you know, here they say we're all the same and quote unquote, exactly. All lives matter and all this kind of stuff. But it's only if they feel it matters, which brings into I stand with Ahmed, who was arrested for bringing a homemade clock resembled or they thought it to be a bombing.
Because he brought it in and plugged it into the wall after sitting in the back of the class and playing with it.
And the teacher liked it.
So who called the police on him?
I don't know. Teachers.
Well, he's been invited to the White House. Yeah. So
he
stuck
has.
On that, white people.
And then Mark Zuckerberg invited him to the Facebook offices. Yeah.
So it's very interesting to me, the state of America.
Well, you know, a lot has been said, you know, even Chris Rock, you know, made a joke. He's like, yeah, after 9/11, we were all equal opportunists, you know, racists. You know, we all stood together against who we felt, you know, terrorists was. And, of course, you know, the crime went on.
I knew who the real terrorist was, and he was in the White House.
And then, of course, besides him, of course, the time went on. You know, things settled back into where you were discriminated against. People always want to talk about, you know, America this, America that, oh, save America. They understand it's not the borders, it's the people, you know, that make America America. So, you know, is Ahmed any less American because he made all that clock?
I'm it.
You know, so people want to conveniently choose, you know, when and who they want to be a racist against. Let that be, you know, Johnny, somebody, you know.
Or how about let that have been someone who looks like someone who has shot up a school before? Yeah. How about that?
Would have got arrested.
Let's talk about who does shoot up the schools. Let's talk about who does do the domestic terrorism more often than not.
And which was stupid, you know, during the Trial Compton movie screenings. Universal
police presence because you know we like to shoot up the movie theater
because
we've done it twice.
But just 2 weeks before, the most recent one before then was what in Memphis when someone brought a knife into the movie theater and it wasn't a quote unquote you know black movie. It was some you know mainstream movie. So you know when our movie comes out and because you know it does touch on you know police harassment. You know because But you know what? Just as much as that song, that movie really depicted South Central Angeles in the 90s. Of course, LAPD were upset about that.
I didn't know they
that.
Got arrested, though.
Yeah. But even just walking out the house, you get jacked up if you're a black male. You know,
he was crossing the street.
Yeah, you look like a gangbanger.
He was crossing the street. His parents were standing outside.
And so,
yo, that's my son right
there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but you know, people want to, like I say, conveniently choose who to discriminate against, but then we'll say what America is, what America isn't. Well, this person is American. Why discriminate against that person? Like I said, it's not the states, the land, it's the people that make America America.
But that's part of some people's problem, is the people that are now making up America.
And then to say, oh, you know, don't forget, you know, like you said, about some of those, you know, those quotations. Well, this is what happened to me on my particular day, because if it doesn't affect you, most people, it doesn't affect them, I'm not going to think about it. I don't care.
Yeah. It was, like I said, it was the first time that I saw that, and it made me kind of sit back and be like, wow. Just wow.
Well, you know, with the social climate, the way it is now, you know, kids, you know, building clocks and you know, police civil unrest happening four times, but reported, probably happen every day, but reported, you know, four times a week. I mean, it won't be the last, it won't be the first, and I hate to, you know, speak certain things into existence, but I think it's going to be a defining moment it's going at. And I don't know what that is, and
the defining moment that'll do what?
People already drawing lines now, you know, like people saying Black Lives Matter is a terrorist group. How the hell is Black Lives? It's because they are shedding light
on. The Ku Klux Klan is a terrorist group.
That's a terrorist group. The neo-Nazis are a terrorist group. People out here talking and say, hey, this has been going on for years, and this is going on every day. It's not a terrorist group. But does that mean that some people that ain't within the Black Lives Matter, or some blacks that aren't, don't feel like that police should die? Well, that's everybody. I mean, that's some people. It doesn't mean that the organization itself is a terrorist group or believe that cops should shut down. So they're not saying, oh, only Black Lives Matter and kill our cops. No, they're saying that Black Lives Matter also, because y'all seem to forget about us.
So I would just like to point out that at this point, black people, people of color in America can't go to school with projects, can't read a book outside of a hotel, can't walk in the street. You have to walk on the sidewalk. You can't express that you know your rights or smoke a cigarette in a car. You can't mind your business, be intelligent. What else? There's nothing you can do. The message is clear right now that there's nothing you can do in America right now that would keep you from being a victim of police violence, police brutality, overzealous policing. You can't go to pool parties. You can't.
Basically, you just can't be a person of color.
Basically, exactly. Because that video of tennis star James Blake being tackled, that dude flew at him, tackled him to the ground. He wasn't resisting or anything. He was like, what is going on? What are you doing?
Just tell me what you're doing this for.
And then on top of all of that, the guy that they said he looked exactly like
was
acting innocent.
I guess they're just looking
so at. So if this hadn't been James Blake, this would have been this innocent ass man getting tackled to the ground, minding his business.
I guess that was just, you know, please tackle light skinned brothers day that day. It could have been anybody.
And I want to see this person that he supposedly looked like. Because he probably didn't.
The person that they claim looked like, I could see slightly, but a cup of tackle him looked more like him to me.
How about it?
Interesting. Well, guess what? You can be a part of the conversation by calling 760-683-2662. You can hit us up on the Twitter @amongst_friends, in our Facebook group.
Accent.
At Amongst Friends Radio Talk Show. Or even hit us up on our Amongst Friends page. So, those are all the things that I wanted to talk about.
Well, can I ask you a question? Sure. You needed to cut for season before talking about something else. Are you looking to be cuffed?
It's going to be a cold winter over
here. Here's the thing. So, you know, everybody talks about cuffing season and all this kind of stuff. And so let's pull out what the definition of what cuffing is exactly. Let's do that first. You do realize that we're going back to a sexual conversation. You do realize that too, don't you? I tried to move away from that this week, but you brought me back. But come on, let's get the definition of what cuffing is.
I'll pull it up.
Just because it's cold outside doesn't mean we have to talk about sex or cuddling. Because I do want a cuddler.
Well, you're a professional cuddler.
I had someone tell me on Monday that I was cuddling. And I don't know how that feels. I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, he was real serious with it. And I was like, excuse me?
All right, the definition of cuffing season from, dare I say this, the Urban Dictionary.
Well, let's go with it.
It's not going to be a Webster's, that's for sure.
During the fall and winter months, people who would normally rather be single or promiscuous find themselves along with the rest of the world desiring to be cuffed or tied down by a serious
relationship. Yeah, no, that's a bullshit response.
The cold weather and prolonged indoor activity causes singles to become lonely and desperate to be cuffed. Here's an example. Brittany, why is everything trying to holler this week, like out of nowhere? Tierra, you know cuff season is full effect, right? Brittany, oh yeah, you're right. I know I won't be sleeping alone this weekend.
Okay, so first of all, let me just say that's a dumbass definition.
It is truly the dumbass.
Because during the fall and winter months, people who would normally rather be single, why would they rather be single? I don't get that. That's dumb. Or promiscuous, find themselves along with the rest of the world desiring to be tied down by a serious...
That's too much.
Listen, if I'm promiscuous, I'm not looking to be in a serious relationship.
If I'm promiscuous, I ain't got no problem being...
Come on!
Somebody to, you know what? That's a dumbass definition. These kids are so dumb.
Are you serious?
I don't know what's wrong with these children.
So, Lord, the question is...
Words mean things, kids. Words mean things.
Do I want to be cuffed? No. Because, one, I don't want to be in a serious relationship only in the fall and the winter. I would like to be in a serious relationship year-long. Okay? That's number one. Number two, I'm not promiscuous. And if I was, y'all would know about it.
You're not going to be doing the Amber Rose slut walk?
No. What I do in my bedroom is what I do in my bedroom. And if you just so happen to be in that bedroom,
then you know.
Otherwise, you can guess right along with the rest of them. So, no cuffing season for me.
Now, are you saying no because of how they define it? Like, it was a different definition?
Well, what's the other definition?
No, I don't know. I'm saying,
well, give me another definition, because right now, that's a stupid-ass definition, and I don't subscribe to that dumbness.
You know what's dumber? Do you know there is an actual cuffing season contract?
Dude, there's a whole bunch of dumbness on the internet.
These kids are dumb. There should be no... You know what? Y'all want to get into contracts over cuffing season, but y'all don't want to get into contracts over actual real relationships and be good friends to people. Bullshit. These kids are fucking stupid. Oh, I'm sorry, I cussed. I was trying to...
This is going to be a cuss, but it's Mike, too.
Your Guide to Cuffing Season in 8 Simple Charts. Who needs 8 charts? I swear to God, this is, hold up.
These kids go out of their way to do dumb stuff. And then it's a lot of adults.
There is a playlist.
Get off the internet.
There's a whole community.
Get off the internet.
There's a whole...
But here's the thing. If everybody's trying to be, why aren't y'all just covering each other? Why do you have to involve other people? There should be a cuffing outlet.
But, you know, folks would be responding to
a cuffing clearance center. Go over there.
Yeah, like I said, folks would be with somebody, anybody that's available through the fall and winter months. But then spring and summer, they get amnesia, and then we'll try to find somebody again through the fall and winter months.
Do you realize that was on the Huffington Post, Your Guide to Cuffing Season?
This is why we cannot have nice things. This is why we cannot have
nice things. It was on Huffington Post. Oh, Jesus.
Once it makes it to Huffington Post or just mass media, period, it's over.
It's a wrap.
Like bling bling. Bling bling was the beginning of the end of black people owning anything. Once white people started saying bling bling, everything just went downhill. Mm. Like, it was just...
Well, didn't, like, was it Cosmo? I think, like, some of the quote-unquote Hollywood starlets were wearing Tim's last year, and
yeah,
Cosmo
Tim's
was saying...
The next best thing.
Right.
Tim's been the best thing.
You got Gwyneth Paltrow wearing some big ass Tim's, so all of a sudden it's the end thing.
Well, you know what? Well, damn. According to the cuffing season timeline, I'm already messed up. I couldn't cuff if I wanted to. Because according to this schedule, it says the cuffing season started, the pre-draft started August 15th to August 31st. That was the pre-draft.
Mm-hmm.
That's pre-draft workouts. Then draft day was September the 4th.
Mm-hmm.
Training camp is September the 5th through the 19th. We're 8 left for training camp, and I ain't got no training in.
That's all I got, fantasy draft right there.
Listen, I'm already out of luck. The preseason starts on September the 20th. October 20th is preseason end. October 31st is roster cuts. November the 1st is free agency. See, I'm already a free agent. Already. November 15th. November 15th is trade deadline, and December 1, the season starts. That's too much. That's too much.
I tell you, it's a whole community. If you Google, which I know, yeah, there's a whole community.
That's too much. I don't even think those dates are right, because if the season begins in December, right, what, does it end on December the 25th? Because dudes don't just link up with a chick.
They're not buying gifts, though. They're not buying gifts.
They're not buying gifts. That ain't.
No. I'm not sure where you're getting that from. But the whole point of cuffing is just to have somebody just readily available for when you want to do some horizontal.
When you want to smash.
Yeah.
No.
Those ain't buying gifts.
It's not just that.
What else is it for?
It's a fake relationship. For the cold. And the thing is, the sad part about it is, it's getting cold outside. We should be winning, right? We should be, like, trying out for a couple teams.
I got nothing.
I'm about to go home to my dog, who I hope didn't throw up all over the floor while I was gone.
Well, no, I'm not participating in cuffing season. Jesus. Oh my. Well.
Wait. Are you being forced to participate in cuffing season right now?
As we speak.
Do
I need to come? Because I will.
Really?
Okay. I think she may have to retract her statement.
Yeah, we'll so he just got some 10-day contract.
Anywho.
No. We're not about to skip over that. We got time, honey. 25 minutes.
Time for what?
For you to explain what just happened.
Your
eyes got big as your face.
To their contracts. So they offered those
and they don't want you to talk about it on air. They shouldn't have sent it to you while you was on air.
I don't think that they realized that I was on the air. But what had happened was a text came across. You know how your iPhone, iPhone products sync across? Well, they do sync. So when you get a text from someone,
it comes up on your laptop.
It comes up on my laptop.
So is that a picture text? Or a sext?
It was a statement.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like to me.
It was a statement.
That made your eyes get real big and knock the paws in you.
Okay.
We can rewind the video.
Also, while I was sitting here, something came in my inbox. Which was a picture, and I was like, well,
thank you.
There you go.
What'd you say?
You know, the NBA offered today contract, so you've been offered a couple contracts?
Oh, come on, man. Okay. Sorry.
What happened, man?
Gina happened.
Yeah, that was the same thing that came in my inbox. Can I just say that there are a lot of Facebook groups that should just be shut down?
No. Let these people live.
No.
Please let them live.
No.
Because I am living. Thanks to them. I need to know who did her weave, though. That's cute. What do you think I can get this done? That's cute. What kind of hair is that? Anyway.
Okay,
can we just discuss something real quick?
Yes.
No matter how impressed you are, gentlemen, I need you to
wait
in closely. Okay?
Did you... The person you would like to get your hair like, did you see the statement above?
Hey, look, man, let her live. I understand. I get it, girl. She watched too much TV. All right. So, I need all the gentlemen to gather near your computer, your headphones. Okay. No matter how impressed you are, okay, with size of your penis when it is not hard. I don't want to see it. Put that thing away. Or at least stand up so it's not all flopped over to the side like a tower of Play-Doh that fell over. It's disgusting and it's sad and usually it looks really ashy. This has been your public service announcement for the night. Back to your regularly scheduled program.
Here's a confession. I have absolutely no sympathy for females who post ass and tit shots and then come back and complain about how guys are in their inbox. I have no sympathy for you. Because what you put out there, you attract certain things. The end. B- Breezy, how you feeling?
I'm good. How are you?
No, that's not what she was saying.
You stupid. What's on your mind? Hey, amongst friends, what's on your mind? Give us a call, 760-683-2662. Join us.
Join us.
We want to talk to you. Next week, when Breezy is hosting,
JBA,
we're going to be on Periscope.
Okay.
Bree.
All right. I got to wear my wig. I get it.
I want a clip right now. However,
I just ain't got to be in it.
Ma'am, you're a part of the show. So you're just going to have an elbow in? Yeah, that doesn't work. That's not how Periscope works at all. I think it was phenomenal. So, what else has been going on?
What's been going on?
Tell us. How's your relationship? Are you still going strong? Congratulations. How long has it been?
That was something.
Okay.
D.
Huh?
Why do you respond like that?
Was she always a Broncos fan?
She's a convert.
Huh?
She's a convert.
She's a who? What?
A convert.
Yeah, there ain't nobody converting.
Can't always be a Cowboys fan. So, never mind.
Do what you say? What you say? Wait, what? What you say?
You know what's going on? What has been going on? Tell me your thoughts about this.
No.
The whole Matt Damon cutting off Effie Brown. And trying to tell her what diversity in Hollywood is.
Don't you know that nobody knows how to be black in America better than a white person? A white man. White men know it all.
Who's from Massachusetts, by the way? Because he just knows what diversity in Hollywood is about. You see the clip, D?
No.
All right, so... Matt Damon and Ben Affleck had a show that comes on HBO every season.
Project Greenlight.
Yeah, Project Greenlight. Where they pick directors?
Scripts, just in general.
Yeah, pick scripts. As far as the minorities for this season, it was, one Asian? I think it was the only minority.
I've never seen it.
It's with one Asian and a white woman. And so, Effie.
Don't you know white women are minorities too? That's sarcasm.
And so, Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, and Effie, you know, chose who they wanted to, you know, move on. And Effie said that, you know, she chose the Asian and the white woman. And then proceeded to talk about, you know, lack of diversity. And then Matt Damon cuts her off. It's like, well, you know, we don't need diversity behind the camera, stuff like that. But he proceeds to explain to her what diversity is in Hollywood, and he called a lot of backlash from that, as if to say, oh, like we said, a white man knows all about diversity and what diversity requires. Surprising to hear about that. He got drugged on social media all week.
Damon explaining.
But yeah, so
people get dragged on Twitter all the time.
Well, and mind you, Effie Brown, she's the director of Dear White People, who are black, African American woman, and so he's a white man. While she's, you know, talking about diversity, he cuts her off and tells her what that person is.
Maybe he had a different perspective.
I don't know what's going on with you tonight, but cut it out.
Other than, what, Ocean's 11 with Don Cheadle, Bernie Mac. Not a lot of his films have had any black directors or hardly any black actors. So
say that one more time.
Other than the Ocean's movies,
mm-hmm.
Don Cheadle and Bernie Mac,
mm-hmm.
hardly any of his movies had any black actors, nor, you know, a black director.
Was that his fault?
No, not his fault. Unless he had a say in it, but, you know, for him to say, well, I know what diversity is and what it isn't, I don't think he's best qualified to say.
Well, maybe he got a couple of black friends.
That's what they all say. I have two black friends.
And his couple black friends should have told him to shut up. Because when at the hype, and I call it the hype because I think that what went on in Baltimore really set off a lot of what's going on now as far as Black Lives Matter. So at the height of that, I have a middle-aged white friend, and everybody's like, how do you know her? And I'm like, because I know people, mind your business. But I have a middle-aged white friend that currently lives in Tennessee, and she would inbox me and ask me questions about, you know, I think we've talked about this before, but she would ask me questions about what was going on, and, you know, she would ask, if she didn't understand something, she would ask me a question, I would give her an answer, and she would go back and she would tell her white friends who only have the perspective of white people that live in Tennessee. So to say Matt Damon has black friends, bull crap, because he's clearly not listening to them, because then they would tell him there's clearly not enough diversity. For the past 5 weekends, the number one movie in the box office has featured black people. That's the first time that's happened in forever. And it's been 3 different movies. Yeah, 3. Because it was Straight Outta Compton, then
The War Room,
and then The Perfect Guy this weekend. Straight Outta Compton was number one 2 weekends in a row. I think.
Three.
Yeah. But, so, you know, why people use that point in particular as, well, see, there's plenty of diversity. That's 5 weeks out of how many weeks in a year?
How many?
And how many movies featuring someone that isn't black? So, that whole, I have a black friend. Well, your black friend should have told you to shut your white ass up. How about that? Yeah, I said it. And I miss it.
You're racist.
Because there are times when, like, I don't understand how people that have white friends allow them to say some of the things that they say, and I'd be like, come on, dude.
You
got
to say one cool.
Yeah, but, so, okay, in my defense,
ma'am. Are you the black person with white friends that lets them say crazy stuff?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Some of the stuff is so shocking that you're just looking at it like, this ain't real life. This is not real life. It's not real life. And then, you know that old saying of keep your enemies close or your friends close.
Yeah. Yeah.
So sometimes when I see stuff, I let it go on to see how far they're going to take it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just don't understand. Like, I don't get it. Like, when Obama was initially running for president, my timeline was on fire. And I was just sitting there like, this is the person that I went to school with. Really? Wow.
Have we had this conversation before? You but never know how a white person feels about you until it's too late.
Yeah,
how they really feel about you, I should say.
And here, but here's the thing. Just because Obama was black, that didn't necessarily, because it took me a minute before I was on board with whole Obama. I just couldn't get with it. So I agreed with some of the stuff that was being said, but then it just kept going. And then it went further. And then it went further. Then it went further. And it was just like, I absolutely have no idea who this person is. I had absolutely, and sometimes I was sitting there and I was just like, when we used to hang out, like after we stopped hanging, what was the conversation like in your house?
They were always who they were, even hanging out with you.
Were they?
Yeah, they didn't just turn racist when Obama was elected. They didn't just turn and they didn't start having those views.
Yeah, I don't get it.
You know, you might have been that black friend that was cool for, you know, for a black girl or cool for a black person. And having finished high school in Georgia, I've heard that shit plenty of times.
I got along with everyone. It's very interesting.
I've actually been more surprised about how some of my black friends react to certain things. I'm like, I have a friend that's a black Republican, and he's mad that people are attacking Trump. And I just sit back and I laugh and I think, you, sir, are a clown and a half.
And a half?
And a half.
I know you were Ben Carson said. In Ferguson about Black Lives Matter.
Ben Carson needs a surgery to remove his head from his ass because he played too much. By the way, I'm reading the responses to people watching the debate, and apparently,
yeah, I am too.
Apparently, Ben Carson is high as a giraffe's ass right now. He ain't over his eyes yet. And Ted Cruz is a robot and Trump is a G. That's what I'm getting from
you. You know what? The reason why people say that about Trump, because you see other people thinking. No, they make it right. Never understand a fool with money. And Trump's going to say whatever comes to mind at that particular time. You know, he has, you know, the gall to say that. And then that, he's just blowing a lot of hot air. I mean, the shit that he say, it's so funny, it's not even offensive anymore. Like, he really said that. Like, I don't know if I should applaud him just for having the backbone say or just laugh. Like, it's not even shocking anymore.
It's not. I'm just like, can somebody please do something about this already? I can't wrap my mind around the fact that you hate Obama so much that you're going for the absolute antithesis. The absolute antithesis. I don't want to talk about politics anymore, it's depressing. Can we talk about this nose? Look at that. That's an amazing nose. Look at that.
We do have a fetish with big nose.
Yes, I do.
But you want them to smell your life, smell your past.
I'll explain it when we get off the air. It's not very anatomical.
That's not true.
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
I was going to say, that's not true.
It's all very anatomical.
Okay. Well, You still have time to be a part of this conversation. 760-683.
You got 3 minutes, though. Hurry up.
2662.
Ma'am?
683-2. Wait. 763-683-2662.
I'm numerically dyslexic, which is why I never say the phone number. You're welcome, America.
Breezy, what are we talking about next week?
TBA.
I need y'all to know what we're talking
about. Titties, boobies, and ass? You nasty!
Exactly what
we're
talking about. No, I was not. Have y'all seen, this is kind of off the subject, did you see Kanye West's Jedi-inspired clothing line? He came out with the bullshit.
Kanye West, oh my gosh, guess what? Somebody just posted this, I just saw this. They posted pictures of zombies from The Walking Dead and posted price tag on the clothing, because that's exactly what Kanye West line looked like.
I mean, tell me they're like some Jedi Knight.
How much?
No one, Kanye. Thousands of dollars for some rags.
And they will be bought.
You know what? Normally I'll say people buy anything. I don't know who the hell's gonna buy that. Unless it's some Europeans.
I guarantee you, it's gonna sell out.
I don't think so.
Just not like that. His shoes did.
But no, his shoes are all right though.
No.
I mean, no. Compared to this shit right here.
I'm telling you. It's gonna sell out. Kanye is a genius.
He is. I don't like him, but he's got you fools figured out.
Got you who? What? When? What?
You fools.
Are y'all gonna watch the Toni Braxton biopic on Lifetime?
I'm not watching anything on Lifetime.
Well, it has been real. And we're out.
Peace.
Peace.